Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Would be scared to death to come up here and get this microphone and talk to you publicly. They wouldn't do it. They'd leave right now. They suddenly got sick, got to go home, they got a fever. But you let them sit down with somebody in a coffee shop, they're some of the best teachers, unassuming. Sometimes we come at somebody with a machine gun. Somebody else is just like the gentle scalpel of a skilled physician, and you know, they just sit down with a kind conversation. Before you know it, they've got all their bags packed, and they've left that religion, and they've moved into Pentecost. Anybody here ever won by somebody like that? Know somebody like that? And then you might be the one that's got the gift of gab. You have no excuse because you don't meet a stranger. I'm just trying to tell you, personality type, this does not cause you to have less lumens than somebody else. Lumens, you understand that's a measure, a unit that basically is explaining brightness. So if I want like a 40-watt bulb, it might have, what, 800 lumens. But an 100-watt bulb might have 1,600 lumens. It's going to give off more brightness. I read something a little while ago. This is going to be worthy of mentioning it here and preaching it later. But just the average flashlight, the sun, compared to an average flashlight, it would take 34 trillion flashlights to measure the same lumens of the sun. Think about this. The God you serve, that was robed in flesh, came and dwelt among us, carried our cross for us, was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace being upon him, who was a root out of dry ground, suffered on that cross and died for our sins. He was God manifested in the flesh. And the Bible tells us in Revelation Discovery in chapters 21 and 22 that when we get to that city of the New Jerusalem, God's going to say, scoot over, son. I don't need you anymore to light the day. Who's going to light? Who's got enough lumens? The Bible said the Lamb is going to be the light of that city. Don't you worry about stumbling in the darkness. Don't you worry about being afraid in the night. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Why? Psalm 27 said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I'm talking to somebody right now. You might be in the darkness of confusion. You may be trying to figure things out. You may be looking at the same puzzle going, I still got the same missing pieces. I don't know what to do about it. You may be fumbling around things, and it's just kind of been a like, at best, maybe twilight. It's a little bit of light, but you can't quite see where you're going. You don't know what to do next. Don't even know what to pray next. Even the best among us, even the most experienced disciples among us come to these moments, and it's okay. Because every now and then, the Lord wants to remind you, you're flesh, and I'm spirit. And if you'll let the power that I've put in you work, it's a spiritual power. And that spiritual power always has a light, and that light shines. If it's his brightness, think about it. The ultimate deceiver in all the generations of deceivers that we've ever had. Think of the best ones. Think of the best liars, the best charlatans, the best schemers. The Antichrist is going to be the worst of them all. He's going to be the embodiment of the man of sin, the son of perdition. But what is it that's going to destroy this dark individual? 2 Thessalonians tells us, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He's just going to turn up the lumens a little bit. This is, you know, I don't know if 10,000 is going to do it, maybe 20,000. I don't know. Maybe 100,000. Think about that. He doesn't need the missiles of men. He doesn't need the weaponry of the world. He's not going to have to grab your gun and fill it with bullets. He's just going to open his mouth and start speaking, and there's a brightness that's going to come out of his mouth. And every dark deed and every demonic agenda, every serpent's doctrine The kingdom of the Antichrist is going to crumble in that moment. Because guess who the king of the mountain is? Your Jesus is the king of the mountain. He's going to take every hill back.
So when you're discouraged, it's easy to sit in the congregation today and have your faith being inspired by the teaching and feel like, whoo, I could tackle 10 giants.
You leave the house of God, and by Tuesday, you can't even swat them off. You feel like, man, I could overcome that mountain. And by Wednesday, I'm like, I don't even know what to do about that anthill over there. Because your flesh. And we constantly have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But that's okay, because he's with me. He's with me. So here I'm just kind of walking through the dark. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. Just reach over and pull that string. Turn the light on. Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Isn't that something in Psalm 27? It said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Notice it didn't focus in on the what. It focused in on the who. Because if you defeat the adversary, you ain't got to worry about the adversity. If you go to the source of the darkness, if you tear down the stronghold, it takes care of all the symptoms. We keep suffering from symptoms because we don't go to the source of the problem. See, you can hide shame in the shadows, but you can't hide a burning testimony. And that's what the devil is afraid of. He's afraid of folks in this room that are going to stop hiding in the corners. You're going to come out of the hidden places. And you're going to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't have to be perfect. You ain't got to have it all together. But you've got a testimony worth telling. Because you've got a fire that's burning on the inside.
He went on to say, he said, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. I mean, sound like a bunch of cannibals. But you know what he said? They stumbled and fell. Why? Because I was walking in the light, but they weren't.
See, child of God, you got to stay in the light. Because the light of the Word of God is your salvation. That's your hope. We become more vulnerable and more easily victimized when we veer off the path of light and say, well, I'll fix this. Somebody said that this week. That's not discernment. There's enough people in here. That's a common human gesture. Somebody said it or something said, I'll fix this. I'll show them. Yeah, I'll show them. You know what you do? You walked out of the light of his word and you stepped into the shadows of your own worldly reasoning. And we all do it. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to call that credit card company, increase my percentages from 15 to 25%. I'll tell you what right now, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. We spend so much time chasing these things, don't we? I mean, we defeat the dragon, but it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. We let all these little distractions interfere with us until all of a sudden, you know what the devil's doing? Just like it. It's your house. You've got lights in your house that have dimmers on them. And he's slowly turning it. And it's going down. The brightness is leaving. Because you're so distracted. We get so upset about things. Mental anguish and emotional interferences. And can't believe they said that. Can't believe they did that. I know I didn't drive up in the wrong parking lot today. If you're breathing, you've been there. And what's comforting is that when I get in these dark places, I feel like there's just always this string hanging. Or maybe what's better is Psalm 18 and 28, when the psalmist said, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God shall enlighten my darkness. Now think about it. I have the candle. I'm not the light. Until I'm lit, till I've been touched by the fire. The source, he's not a candle. He doesn't need men's wax to be eloquent. He doesn't need a lamp. He doesn't need a torch. He is the fire. Well, this wasn't, he said, thou will light my candle. This wasn't God going over and grabbing one of those lighters. You know, click. Or for those of you that are still brave enough to not burn your fingers off with the whoosh. Hurry up, I gotta hurry up and get that lit. Ooh, it's hot. That's not God. He is the fire. He is the light. He is the illumination. And if I get close to his presence, I stay lit. I stay illuminated. My fire continues to burn, but I cannot provide my own spark. I must continue to work the power he's put in us. He said, they stumbled and fell.
Psalm 27:3 goes on to say, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Not arrogant. He didn't say arrogant. In this, what's he talking about? It's two things. What he just said, the Lord is my light. So since I'm in the light and I have salvation from that light, and my enemies that wanted to devour me stumbled and fell because they're not in the light. You can't be effective with your attack and with your argument if it's from the darkness. But if you're in the light, you see things. By revelation of light, you can't see if you're in the dark. It's just that simple. So he's saying, I'm not going to let my heart be afraid as long as the light is shining. In this will I be confident. The difference between confidence and condemnation is your confidence comes in the light, but your condemnation lives in the dark. And if you have been wrestling with ongoing guilt that you don't know what to do about, it's because you've let the devil drag you in the dark. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, because the flesh is going to seek the darkness, but not the Spirit, not the spiritual man. He wants the light. He hungers for the light. I want to see God. I want to understand the Word of God. I want Him to be revealed to me more and more in this personal relationship with Him. He's not just a time clock for me to punch on a Sunday morning and get my religious activity done or crossed off for the week. He doesn't want to just be on your to-do list. He wants to walk with you. And if I walk with Him, if I have this relationship with Him, then I say, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired, Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. How do you behold the beauty of the Lord if there's no light shining? But He meets hunger, doesn't He? His holiness moves toward hunger, and He wants to reveal Himself because we're coming closer to Him. And when we stand closer to Him, we're like Moses at the burning bush. You're going to see why that bush is not burning, because this is not an ordinary fire. This is not a man-made fire. This is not a manufactured fire. This is a divinely manifested fire. This is the Almighty God's fire. This is the essence of who He is. To behold. I happen to think, as you men should think about your spouse, I'm married to the most beautiful woman in the world. But what good is that if there's no light? You can't behold beauty if there's no light on. And some folks have lost the beauty of His holiness in your relationship with God because you've been stumbling around in the darkness of resentment and discouragement and bitterness and arguments. I snuck up on you, didn't I? So let your light shine before men. Why? Because when those works begin to be seen, they're not works of the flesh. They don't see that, yeah, he called himself a Christian, but he got such a mad attitude and temper tantrum, stormed off the job. You can go ahead and say, ouch. It happens. He said, if I could just get in the house of the Lord, Psalm 27:4, I will inquire in His temple. What am I going to inquire? Anything. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. People that are hungry for the house of God keep that attitude. They keep that attitude. Other folks that get religiously satisfied just say, well, I found enough. I'll stop right here. And you're not a seeker anymore. You're just a statue of religion. You're just a monument of what was. God doesn't want that. So, well, now if I'm in the house of the Lord and I'm inquiring in His temple. He went on to say in verse 5, he said, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. But guess what? He isn't just going to keep me hidden. He went on to say, He shall set me up upon a rock. Psalm 27:5. Think about it. For a while, sometimes I need to be hidden. I need to be hidden. I need time to heal in the shadow of His wing. But I can't just stay there. God doesn't want you to be a religious convalescent. He wants you to be a burning testimony. And at some point, He moves you from the pavilion and He sets you up upon a rock. What is that? It's a city set on a hill. Nobody understood this more than David, because God gave David Jerusalem. Jerusalem's not in a valley. It's on a mountain. It sits among seven hills. And that's where the glory of the Lord is to be revealed. He's going to set me up upon a rock. And he said, then shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemy round about me. Therefore, while I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. My praise is affected. It is empowered. It is strengthened because I walk in this light. And I know that if I live in this light and desire this light and hunger for the revelation of truth, then guess who the king of the mountain is? The Almighty. And he sets you up on a rock. And he puts you as a city set on a hill, because his glory dwells among his people. Some of the greatest revivals that have never happened are about to happen. And that's not just a flippant prophecy. These are ages old prophecies that have been spoken over and over again for the apostolic church in the last 100 or so years. And we see flickers of it here, and we see seeds of it here and there, and we get great reapings of it here and there. But just before the trumpet of the Lord, the greatest revivals that have ever been. And the reason is because the church is going to be that city set on a hill, and it's going to shine so bright, and the fire is going to burn so supernaturally that there's not one demon that can stop it. And the more they persecute it, just like the Book of Acts church, the more they will empower it, the more they will multiply it. You kill one, there'll be 10 more pop up. You kill those 10, there'll be 1,000 pop up. You ought to be encouraged in the presence of the Lord today, because whatever you're wrestling with, whatever you've been struggling with, whatever you've been knocked down by, come back to the city set on a hill and know who the king of the mountain is. My God is the light, and he's also made me the light. How will I use my influence? How will I spend my energies? Will I exhaust myself just doing work, paying bills, raising kids? All of those are honorable things. But how dim does the light become when that's all you do and you cease to be? Because he wants you to be a light, a light. Help us, Lord, to be a light. Help us to be the light of the world. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We know, Lord, that darkening forces are moving. An invasion of evil and the wrath of Satan, according to Revelation 12, that's coming down even more so upon the earth. Violence, disputes, arguments, wars, and rumors of wars. The earth that is being shaken in every way imaginable. But I pray, oh God, let the church continue to be a city set on a hill. Not we don't want to be, you know, some old buried civilization, apologetic memories and no more power, just covered over by the soils of time. And then they come in some future, some excavators, and they start digging it up, and they start examining. Yeah, this was a powerful church. No, let's get back to the hill. Let's get back to the hill. Be a city set on the hill. Don't let your greatest energies be spent for the distractions of darkness, but for the influence of light. You have a testimony worth telling. Somebody needs to hear it this week. Somebody needs to hear it on the other end of a phone. Somebody needs to hear it sitting down at a supper table. Somebody needs to hear it over a lunch. It might just start as an encouragement, but all of a sudden, the Lord begins to turn that conversation, and that desperate soul begins to open up to you in a way they never have. I believe there's more and more people like this that are sitting out there waiting for the city set on the hill to get the power plant running again and get them lights up and running again. We don't need any power outages. We need the power that worketh in us, according to Ephesians 3:20, to stay powerful. And we need to be a light in Jesus' name. David is praying, and he's saying, I know, Lord, that you're going to set me up on a rock, and I know I'm going to sing praises to you. But he comes back in Psalm 27, and he says, with an open heart and a broken spirit, he said, hear me, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger.
Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He goes on to say, for when my mother, or when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Isn't that powerful? The Lord's going to take me up. Teach me, O Lord, thy ways. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Turn me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. And this is what he says. The last two verses of Psalm 27 is so powerful. That's your homework assignment. Pray it this week. He said, he's noticing all these things. Notice he's going back and forth between his confidence in the word of God and the work of God. And then he realizes he has these accusers, these adversaries, these false witnesses, these that want to chew him up, devour him, and destroy him. So again, when he says, turn me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. And then he says, I had fainted, lest I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He brought it right back to Revelation. I know there's a lot of bad stuff to look at, but I want you to know that I'm looking past all of the fear and all of the wars and all of the adversaries and all of the condemnation and shame. And I'm looking past all of the violence and the danger and the perils of the end time. And I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's doing miracles among his people. He's opening doors of effectual. Souls are coming to him. Encouragement is in his house. And that's why he closes the chapter by saying, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be encouraged, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Why? Why would you continue to serve God even in the darkest of times? Because he said, I had believed to see. He didn't just say, I saw it. You study when you go home. He said, I had believed to see it. I made my faith. There's an internal lamp. It's called faith. You turn that on, and it always stays bright because we walk by faith and not by sight, because there's a lot of stuff we're going to see before the coming of the Lord that could distract us and disturb us, could knock us off track. But he said, I believed to see. And because I saw the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I can serve him. I can wait on him. I can be patient. I can hold to this truth and never let it go. That's why the scripture says, for he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Because you're going to have some spiritual stamina. You're going to have the ability to continue to walk with God in the light, no matter how much the darkness calls. It might be like that moment in Egypt, when darkness, such terrible, eerie, frightening darkness swept over the land of Egypt. But over here in Goshen, with the people of God, the light was still on because the glory of the Lord was among his people. So my friend, no matter how discouraged you get with certain delays of results and things you've been praying about, anybody relate to that? Things you still pray about? Wondering when and if and how. And I want to tell you, your prophecies are not dead. And even if they are, you can take a trip to Ezekiel 37, to the Valley of Dry Bones, and watch God restore things that have been dead. Because if God speaks a word, he intends to keep it. He intends to keep it. He's not a salesman. He's a savior. And when he speaks a word that sheds light on our dark situations. I want the Lord to shed light. Not only on this church, but on this generation of believers. In Jesus' name, why don't we stand? We've got about 3 minutes. In the name of the Lord, we lift our hands across this congregation. We thank you for the light. Thank you for light that shines. Thank you for the purpose of the word. Thank you for the power of the word. Would you just lift your voice for a moment and thank him? Thank him you're not stumbling around in the darkness, but you're living in the light. And if you have been disturbed and discouraged and upset and knocked off balance and staggering around, oh, let the stumbling stop today. Walk with confidence. Be confident like David. Walk in the confidence of the Lord. Because I know who the king of the mountain is. I know who rules.
at the top. I know who's the peak. I know who's above all. I know who the Almighty is. I serve the Most High.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.